Oh, hello. Welcome to WHM Mailbag, everybody. I didn't see you there. Come on in. Sit down. Have a cocktail. Kick back. It's the end of the workday. We're going to hear. We are here. Going to read some letters to y'all. Maybe answer some cues. Plug some stuff. A lot of fun things happening here on the Mailbag. Going to bring in my semi-literate podcasting brethren. Brethren. My God. I'm not even drunk. I swear to you. This is... just end of the day tiredness. Don't get old, folks. Okay, here we go. First up, you know him, you love him, Mr. Steven Sadak.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
You just saw La Bête.
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Was that yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah, did a little cheese dinner. Went to the cheese store, got some cheese, some wine, and, you know, had a nice little meal with a very unsettling movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, especially once you get to that, like, third sequence, you're like, I shouldn't have had all that cheese.
It's just one of those, it's like, French movie, romantic? No.
No.
I mean, there's
no
romance in that movie, but not so much.
Yeah, you got to kind of dig through and find it.
Yep.
It is there. Let's see here. Gonna bring in another fella. He's got his shirt open, which I fucking like this. I'm regretting wearing a t-shirt. Eric Siska.
Hello, my God. Your cocktail sip, the talk about wine and cheese. I wish I had a cigarette right now, because this is like late Johnny Carson, before there were laws in this country type of broadcast.
That's right, dude. That's right. I'm sipping on something. It's a drink that's literally called the Ken Burns Effect. I thought it was very appropriate
for our movie show. Does it take you 6 hours to drink it?
Or? No, but every time I take a sip, I got to go like this.
I like that. It's coming at you. 3D. We're going to do this feed. This is going to be retro scanned to 3D next week. Stay tuned to youtube.com/WeAteMovies.
You guys might actually like this. It's basically a Manhattan, but instead of the sweet vermouth, you do a half ounce each of maraschino liqueur and sweet sherry.
Okay. Yeah. I can get into that.
Yeah. No, it's not too bad. Speaking of not too bad, our fucking bookworm's back. Here's Chris Cavan.
No, it's from 1949. It's a Hepburn entry. Hepburn wasn't in Bad Day at Black Rock. It can't be Bad Day at Black Rock. And I don't even think that was came out in 49. I think it might. I don't know. Is it Adam?
Puzzle time is over.
What? Oh.
Isn't this? This is a sit down study hall, right?
Wait, copier. No.
If you didn't bring anything to read, just put your head down on the desk like me and Steve will do.
No, I'm not doing that. Oh, okay. They're just doing it. Okay. That's all right. I'm fine with that. How is
that?
What up,
C Money?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How's everybody doing? Steve, I'm very happy you saw The Beast. That it's a wonderful film.
It rules. It's
really fantastic. Yeah, I'm back. I got some color from Portugal. It was nice, you know.
Yeah.
How's everybody doing?
Great. We've been good, dude, holding down the fort, you know.
Thank you very much for doing that.
Yes, yeah. Fighting off the constant attacks while you were on vacation.
Those Mongols, dude. Like, we can't build this wall tall enough. We were like,
so they came back. Huh?
They keep coming back.
Oh, all right. That's
what year was surprising. It when the Mongols ruled China?
They weren't kidding about how many kids he had. They're back.
I thought you were talking about arachnids at first. That's what I thought, that we had been overtaken by the filthy arachnids.
I mean, almost.
There's no spoilers, but
killed three spiders today. Oh, no, whoa.
Is that right?
I let them go. I took them outside. Okay. All right.
Did you, though? Did you take him out back and show him what it's like?
Yeah, old Yeller style.
Hey, no spoilers, but just going to put it out there. A clue for the very end of season 14 of We Hate Movies has something to do with arachnids.
It's true.
It does. It actually does. True. Yes.
Have we actually announced that already? And I forgot.
Well, it's on the BDD. Yeah.
Oh, right. There's another thing attached to it that'll be fun, though.
Yeah. But also, when I see a spider now in my house, I lock the door and I go, now you just can't leave.
Yeah, you're locked up in here with me, not the other way around. Right?
You slice up its arm a bunch, and then, you corner them all in the green room.
Well, I leave spiders alone because they eat the other guys. You're doing the Lord's work.
Wonderful.
Everyone. You get the gross ones.
Yeah, indiscriminate violence against anything I see in the house.
We got some letters here to read, of course. Do you want to get right out in front, though, with the plugs? Because let's be honest. That's why we're doing this 6:30 on a Monday. I'll tell you what, next Thursday, I can't even believe. So not this coming Thursday, but a week from that Thursday. Check this shit out. Oh,
yeah.
There it is, you guys. The next worldwide digital experience. We're talking speed live on the air, much like a format like this.
Yes.
Different-ish platform.
It'll be a lot of fun. And yes, we'll be showing our cans.
We will. We
absolutely will.
We'll also be doing a live VHS trailer game. Hell that'll be, there's points involved for that. I kind of didn't fuck anybody over, but I realized with our scheduling, I'm like, oh, wait, I have to wait a long time before we can do the finale because of the thing going on next week. But I'm really excited about it. It's going to be really fun. And it's very close between Andrew and Chris.
And me.
Eric is still alive.
Yes, it is.
The champion. The champion still has a chance at the belt.
Maybe, true. Possibly. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm excited. It's been like about a year since I've rewatched Speed because I got it on 4K a while back. So I'm due. And it's only been a year and I'm due. That's how much I love this movie.
I haven't seen it in a year. It's been a long while for me. I think back when I was living with you clowns is probably it.
Oh, shit.
Wow, really?
Yeah, probably. It's been a long, long time.
All the way back when we were in clown college together.
Yes.
That's the last time when we were in that dormitory. Remember that RA? He had big shoes.
He did indeed. Well, that's probably around when you didn't have like cable TV anymore for it to be thrown on there every once in a while just to be reminded. I watched it about like 5 months ago because Soph had never seen it.
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah. And it just blew me away. It absolutely blew me away all over again.
I cannot wait to revisit this movie, and I cannot wait to revisit it with you, my friends.
Yes,
that's right.
moment.co/wehatemovies for those tickets. It is happening, what, next Thursday, you said?
Next Thursday,
July 18th.
That's it. You got
also, when you get them ticks, be sure you bundle in the tickets for the after party because it's going to be like kind of this on like an accelerated scale.
Yeah.
After we've already done a show, like the mania sets in, folks. You don't want to miss it.
Shots.
No.
We're going to be speeding down some shots of that after party.
You're just hoping that heat breaks a little bit. That'd be nice. You know, like
you would
just
wish
to live like a person again.
If this temperature gets below 80 fucking degrees, man, the world's not going to survive. It's got to be hot.
I thought that's what Chain Reaction was going to be, and it was not. I am sad to say. I was certain that was it.
Thing about Chain Reaction, man, I rewatched it like maybe 6 months ago. It's not good. It's not like a speed level Keanu movie, but like there's worse motion pictures out there.
So would that's you say
a,
you have
a glowing recommendation?
Well, Chris, to be fair, that's a good reaction.
Sure. Did we do Chain Reaction? I don't remember.
No, we did.
We never did it.
I know what's going on.
You and Keith are both movie.
Yep, the fucking Cuba Gooding Jr. ice cream truck movie.
Which is
actually speed, but you can't get the temperature because the temperature of the thing couldn't like warm.
It's like cold something or other.
Is that chill factor?
Chill factor.
10 big points. Put
there
it
is.
The VHS Sunday. Trailer game. I'm back in the rounds.
Back in.
But yes, that's we're going to be doing speed finally. And I can't wait. I have been trying very hard to make my Dennis Hopper impression worse. working day in day out, and it's I think it's really paying off.
I might try to find a clip for this or something because we just watched it the other night. So I think it's because the main character, like the host of the show Muppets Tonight, is a character that was voiced by Kevin Clash, so like it's not on Disney Plus, but you can find it on YouTube. They only made like a few episodes of it. One of them though, Sandra Bullock hosts. And they do like a speed parody where they're like, oh, if the ratings on this show go below Mark 50, the theater's going to blow up.
Got it.
And this episode was, I guess, kind of infamous because it was supposed to air on the exact date that was the 1 year anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing. So they like they pulled it and it sort of like derailed the whole show. But like, there is a puppet. There's a long way around to get to this. There is a puppet in there, the guy playing the mad anonymous bomber. it's just one of the Henson people doing kind of a Dennis Hopper impression.
Oh,
it's
I love
pretty,
that.
It's pretty funny.
That's great. They should have just rolled with it and had like little stretchers for little Muppet bodies.
Exactly.
And then it's also Oklahoma City. It's fine.
It's fine. It's good.
I drove into a preschool.
Oh, no.
Waka waka.
Yeah, Fozzie Nichols was driving Terry Nichols' truck that day or whatever happened.
No, turn it off. I don't care if it's live on the air. Turn it off.
What am I going to do with all this manure and bags of nails?
No. We don't condone this.
Who allowed Timothy McVeigh to do a polish on this script? Who allowed it? Let me know.
I always wanted to work in TV.
Should we get to some letters, guys?
Sure.
Yeah. We should get to some letters here. Chris Cabin, not only are you our bookworm, you're also our fucking mailman.
Yeah.
So what's
a
going
postmaster,
on?
Postmaster, please. Will you please calm down?
Oh, sure, sure.
Come on here. Yeah. I think that you love this story, so I think you got to do this one, Andrew.
Oh, the first one? Okay. Yeah. It's just because I think it's very funny and... There's a couple of things about it that really worked for me. It's an embarrassing father story.
Yes.
Coupled with a comedic actor I really love. So this is going to be a good one. Okay. Although I have to say the subject line of this email sounds like the title of some like early aughts J-Lo starring domestic thriller.
Cornered.
That's the tone I got from the what goes on in this is very much if I was in Dan Aykroyd's shoes, I would feel J-Lo cornered.
Are we sure that there's no Ray Liotta movie called Cornered? You know, just like
you know what?
Unlawful Entry is one of them.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
10 points.
Turbulence as well.
You can't just get points for thinking about movie titles.
Why not? That's what everyone else does.
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
Cornered.
Hi, WHM. Chris's story from the April 2024 mailbag. That was a real banger, by the way. You should go check that out after this one on YouTube. We were also hawking tickets to a virtual show then, I think. Or no, the tour, I believe it was.
Tour.
Anyway, all right, the April 24 mailbag about his dad not keeping his cool around celebs. It gave me a vivid flashback to a fondly remembered incident from my youth. It was sometime in the later 90s. I was grade school aged, and my family were on one of our semi-regular ski trips.
Oh.
Ah, Steve, hold your tongue.
What? Okay.
Before you say Little Rich Boy.
I was this close.
I had to hop in, dude, like fucking Keanu Reeves on the LA subway system. Mm-hmm. Had to hop on board to save you from humiliating yourself. This guy says, before you say Little Rich Boy, they were exclusively Reno, Nevada-based and heavily subsidized by my dad exploiting casino and hotel promotions as much as he possibly could.
Nice. Okay, so this guy is like a real degenerate gambler and can take his kids skiing sometimes.
And that's he kind of knows how to work a system. Again, sure. Kind of like Chris's dad and the Columbia House scam. Baby.
Oh, yeah, scammer. this is a classic scammer father. It's not, you know, it's different from the other type. It's not always nefarious. It's just, you know, really just working the system because there are, you know, there are openings there and you got to.
Oh, my dad. My dad was not above a scam for sure.
Oh, well, come on.
He liked the old, which I think is incredibly illegal, but I think the statute of limitations is out. The old, you put a paper bag over a parking meter.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, out of order, dude.
Yeah. What was I going to do? It was out of order, officer. Mm-hmm. What was I to do?
That's awesome. Did he have a stack of paper bags in the car?
you keep those in the glove box. Yeah.
Or do you actually recycle it? Like when you leave, you take it off.
it's not the next guy's problem.
Right.
My dad once threw like road trip car garbage out of the window so we wouldn't have to stop.
Sure.
So we could continue making good time on a road trip.
He's Don Draper's your dad, huh?
A little bit. Okay, let's see. Scamming these people as much as he possibly could. Nothing too elaborate or nefarious, just innocent grifts like forgetting his rewards card in a slot machine and coming back to collect it the next day after the rabble have had a chance to unknowingly rack up points on it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how casinos work. Can someone explain that to me?
I mean, I assume the idea is you get reward points for every dollar you spend.
Okay.
If you leave the thing in the machine, everyone else is going to do it, apparently.
But isn't that like I don't know. Isn't that kind of fucking risky, though? Then your card, if someone's like,
yeah, somebody grabs your card,
oh, here's this card.
Right. And, oh, but the risk is part of the scammer lifestyle, of course.
Yep, exactly.
They have a little bit of it. They can't just be playing it completely safe.
But what is on the line here for these points, this reward system? Is it like a plush cigarette toy? Well,
it's possible.
Yeah, dude, it's novelty-sized sunglasses and a huge stuffed cigarette.
Give me the giant teddy cigarette, please. Yeah,
a Joe Camel plush that says that coughs when you hug it.
And out of the bag, it says gambling problem. Dial 1-800 gambling.
And as long as you put that phone number offer there, everything's fine.
It's totally cool.
Let's see. Oh, someone says, so Daniel Hood chimes in the chat. You get points for like a dollar or two on a machine. Yeah, okay. Fine. All right. So let's see.
Yeah.
So that scam was one. Or having my sister and I pretend not to know him in the hotel lobby so he could book discounted rooms with lower max occupancy.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really cheap. That's like $5.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like you're not saving.
No,
that much money. And then the last thing you want is to be like sleeping in early morning. You get a fucking cop knock. Hotel security, man. Like you're getting kicked out. I don't know about that.
But the risk reward else? There is low.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but how else are you going to rack up the points to get a free ribeye from the worst restaurant in Reno, Nevada? Like, there's no other way to do that. Then you'd have to spend $35 on that. You don't want to do that.
And no sides. Zero sides.
No. Look, we're getting a steak, and then we'll go get French fries at McDonald's later.
Yes, they're better anyway.
Ooh, steak frites.
Yeah, it's the fucking steak Reno, Nevada dot, steak frites.
Steak dot 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 frites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steak. Dot dot 45 minutes later dot dot frites. Okay. One evening we were passing through an indoor area. Steve, I think this is what you were talking about Vegas. Mm. You can't just walk someplace. Everything's connected here.
Mm-hmm.
They say an indoor area that connected the Silver Legacy Casino with Circus Circus.
Oh my God, Circus Circus.
Did you go there, Eric?
Yes, I did. It's terrible. It's awful. It's full of clowns and stuff.
Oh, really? No, thank you.
Well, yeah. It's heavily featured in Fear and Loathing, both the book and the movie, I believe.
The place, I think besides one of those bars in Tennessee we went to, it's the place that smelled the most like cigarettes I've ever been to.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
You're making me a little jealous.
I had a fucking pulmonary scan after that tour, I'll tell you what. All right, let's see here. Passing Circus Circus, very close to one of the many tobacco-scented buffets that we frequented, depending on that month's coupons.
Yeah, baby.
When my dad said something to my mom and suddenly took off running ahead of us. We all stood around and waited for him to return while my mom tried to explain to my sister and I who Dan Aykroyd was.
Whoa.
So this is the late 90s. This is a grade school age child, much like we were in the late 90s. We're a little older. You had to have known who Dan Aykroyd was. What are we talking about?
Your parents never showed you Tommy Boy? That's dereliction of duty. I say get them the fuck out of here. Like
Ghostbusters? Great Outdoors?
I think we're burying the lead. Like, you know, seeing Dan Aykroyd, I'd be like, oh, cool. Dan Aykroyd. Love that guy.
Sure.
Chasing after Dan Aykroyd? I don't know about.
I was once chased by Dan Aykroyd.
Really?
True story. Now, when I was an intern at Conan, he was one of the guests, and I went downstairs to leave the show for the day, and he was leaving at the same time, and I looked behind me, and it was Dan Aykroyd with a baseball cap on, but that face is so recognizable.
Sure.
And he's like, and I'm like, oh my God, he's back there. But he was going to his car, so he went to his
car. Was it like, hey, kid, hold the door for me? Hang, 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 hang.
No.
Like...
I think he saw that I recognized him and didn't like it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So 5 to 15 minutes later, he returned and explained that he had indeed seen through Mr. Aykroyd's disguise, which this person says is a hat with a built-in wig, parentheses, I believe it may have been the classic Rasta hat.
No.
So is he
doing Trading Places? Is that what's happening?
Is it the last awkward as fuck 2 minutes of Trading Places? Uh-huh. Is that what's like, was grease paint involved? Does he really want to be that not noticed?
Trading other places, getting ready for the Legacy sequel, of course. Like,
dude, after fucking XLF, anything is possible.
Randolph Mortimer, we're back and we're dead.
Now we're holograms, Mortimer. Can you believe it? Okay, Rasta hat. Yikes. And that he had cornered Aykroyd in a bathroom.
Oh, God.
Oh, perfect.
After following him in, he said, "You're Dan Aykroyd," which I believe earned my dad a not especially patient, "Thank you very much, sir." Uh-huh. And a handshake.
Well, yeah, what'd you expect? Crystal head vodka?
Also, shaking hands in the bathroom.
No.
I do not think so.
Fist bump.
I mean, if it's,
you have to touch, sure.
If it's the hallway before the business has been done,
sure.
Maybe it's fine. Yeah, but okay. Still, like,
you gotta, no. You're in the bathroom, play swords, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta ask. Tips.
Just push him against the wall and say, "We're sword playing." That's what we're going to be doing.
That's a bathroom handshake.
You did, Dan.
You wait for him to go to the urinal, and then you sidle up the exact one next to him, like, "Hey, Dan Aykroyd." Hey.
Nice cock.
Uh-huh.
I love Dr. Detroit. It's a phenomenal film.
You just start saying movie titles like when you start hearing him piss, you're like, "Blues Brothers 2000." Dr. Detroit.
"Hey, kid, I'm taking a piss, not a shit."
Dragnet. I find the move is, if he's got a disguise on, leave him alone.
Like, yeah.
It's very clear.
Yeah.
I think, like, you could tell almost 10 times out of 10 when a celebrity wants to be bothered and when they're really not in the mood for it. You know what I mean? I've told the story before.
Yep.
We were on a roadside, Roy Rogers, about to go camping, and who should come in while my wife's in the bathroom to get their little kids Roy Rogers, but Uma Thurman. Like, holy shit, Uma Thurman. She looks exactly like Uma Thurman. You're not going to hide that.
No, and no fucking Rasta hat for you, Uma Thurman.
And then she's like, "I'm waiting next to my the bathroom, waiting for my wife to get out."
Oh man!
And she's gonna go in the bathroom, so she has to pass me. Right. And I know for a fact she just kind of gives me this look, like, "No," you know what I mean? Like, it's a look that says, "You know, and I know, and I'm sure you jerked off to me, and I'm sure it was wonderful."
Wow.
Yep.
Let's leave it alone. You know what I mean? And I just gave her that look. I was like, "Yep, I get it." You know, I'm not gonna be like, "Uma Thurman, oh my god." You know what I mean? Like,
Steve, I just don't think I think you're leaving something out. You were wearing your famous Nymphomaniac t-shirt. And I think that was part of why you maybe got these eyes. Maybe that was really to check you in a little bit.
And Steve, there's an update to this story you might not be aware of.
Oh, what's that?
It is now at Chick-fil-A. They got rid of the Roy Rogers.
Oh, no.
Yes, dude, I was going to bring that up. So this is what they did. This is what the geniuses of the New York State, Thruway, whatever the fuck, association decided was a great idea. Put in, so there's two things going in there. They knocked it. Yes, all the Roy Rogers, I think the McDonald's, like, it's all gone on those Thruway rest stops. Now it's indeed Chick-fil-A and Burger King's. But one of your two restaurants in your fucking place where people are traveling, rest stop, you know, restaurant area, is a place that's closed every Sunday.
Yeah.
Yep. There's actually
so
giant, like, signs on the highway that's like, "Closed Sundays."
Great. Awesome. Yeah.
Like, on Sunday's going to be a fucking Subway then? Like, what are you doing?
Just forcing people to eat more Burger King, I guess. Maybe they're in a pact a little bit.
Yeah, fuck, the king. Tragedy. The king is involved.
Yeah. I mean, that's all under Chestnut Market, right? That's who took over all these things.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no ethical capitalism, but I just still can't go back to Chick-fil-A. It's just that's for you folks. You guys enjoy it. I'm not that hard up for it. Like, if I'm fucked in an airport, that's all that's there, of course I'm going to eat it. But, like, you know, I live in New York. I could just go up the street to the McDonald's. It's going to be fine. You know?
Yeah, exactly. By the way, we should mention this Aykroyd stuff. It's all allegedly. We don't want to get in hot soup.
No.
If you contact saying that we're talking about bathroom stories, we're in trouble. So,
Sure.
Heard you're talking about my cock.
Heard you're talking about Blues Brothers 2000. Yeah. I should finish this letter.
You know so much about it. Is it cut or uncut? You got 30 seconds.
I'm going to guess cut, sir.
Damn it!
Ding 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 ding. All right. I also vaguely recall a detail about Aykroyd having one or more bodyguards who waited outside the bathroom, which is probably true since Googling Dan Aykroyd bodyguard brought up an old Reddit post about a college student getting roughed up after approaching Aykroyd in an Ontario strip club bathroom
wow.
in 2001. Leave Dan Aykroyd alone in the bathroom. What is Jesus. Going on?
Yeah, now you're approaching him with a hard-on.
Exactly.
Not totally. Good.
I'm jerking off in here. Excuse me.
By the way,
I got cheap perfume and pre-cum all over my pants. Could you excuse me?
By the way, 10 points to Jimmy Wood for his chat. His cone head.
His cone, of course.
No, of course well yeah. done, dude. And also, great name, Jimmy Wood. Mm-hmm. I guess my dad got lucky to escape that bathroom unharmed. Thanks for the hours of enjoyment. Dev from West Sac.
Okay. Thank you, Dev.
West Sacramento? Yeah,
that's what I was guessing. I don't
yes, it must be, right? There's Old Sac, too. I'm sure Dev can oh, yeah. talk our ear off about
Gangly
that.
Sac, which is an older part of the, yeah, just, the place.
I do think bathroom, you leave anybody alone, your boss, your friend. Like, I don't even, like, if, I won't even talk to Andrew in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, if we're no. at the same bar, like, I'm like, oh, should I go to the bathroom? I'm not going to be like, hey, man, pretty nope. cool being at this bar together, right?
Like, it'll be a thing where sometimes, like we're going to the movies, and then, like, after the movie, we're going to the bathroom, and, like, the walk from the theater seats yeah. to the bathroom door, it's a conversation about the movie, and then you will notice, I will shut right down. Yeah. Once I cross that bathroom threshold, I'm not fucking talking to you with my cock in my hand. I'm sorry.
You're a decent person. When I, my last job, I, every boss of mine was a bathroom talker.
Ugh.
It was like being Ron Livingston where, with the TPS reports, but it's a guy with.
yeah. Well, that's power. That's all power stuff, Eric. Clearly, yeah. they are trying to dominate you.
They tried. Well, they did. They definitely did. They put they a saddle on and everything.
In those situations, but and it's disgusting. It should never happen. But, like, I also think, like, I'm sure I have done it before, but you know what it happens is when you're fucking blackout drunk.
And oh, then sure. You, like, yeah. That's right.
Then you become quite the chatterer.
that's a conversation. That's what I got to. Yeah, that's when I got to Todd Berry on Second Avenue. I was
oh, right. Hey man, I think that bartender likes me. Yes, she does, dude. She totally does.
You know, just leave people alone. I think all around bathroom yeah. or no, that's my policy. Let's just not talk to people.
Bathroom or no, but I do think that, like, you know, celebrities. It's people like to see the celebrities, and sometimes celebrities like to be seen. But you'll get the vibe. You could smell it from like 30 feet away. Like, this guy does not want to see me today, or oh, what a nice guy he wants to talk. That's cool.
Right. I but love that's the you. Problem, dude, whatever. Is I feel more people than not like don't have that
yeah
foresight.
Right.
So it's
can't
a lot
read
more
the room.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a lot more chasing Dan Aykroyd into bathrooms than by the way, someone mentioned, let me see if I scroll back in the chat for a second. Okay, Neth in the chat says, I guarantee that Ontario strip club was Fillmore's.
All right. Nice.
And you don't need to write into the mailbag or anything, but I'm just kind of curious why that stuck out to you, Neth. Oh, Neth also says, look at this. I took a piss next to Cillian Murphy once. And it was really hard to keep my damn mouth shut, but I let him piss in peace. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, Jesus. You let, oh, yeah. yeah. So you it pissed in your mouth? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think that's what they were saying. No,
I think Neth was listening to him, the wind shake the barley right next to him. Right there.
oh,
that starts singing. Everybody in the room starts just singing it.
All right, Chris Cabin, who's doing this next one?
I'll do this one. It's ooh, a longer okay. one.
It's a long boy. Holy shit.
A little bit of one. My day with Danny. Hey,
another Dan Aykroyd story.
Oh, my God. No, this is a Dan Aykroyd podcast.
It is another celebrity story, and okay. a slightly more positive one than that horror story that we just went through. Mm-hmm. Hey, WHM gang, I have exactly one celebrity encounter that I've been milking to impress friends and board dates for about 20 years now, and I'm just now realizing it would be great for the mailbag. I want to tell you about the time I spent a day with Danny Trejo.
Now we're talking.
Allegedly.
I can't remember. It was back in 1910. Oh, wow. never mind that. I can't remember if it was exactly 2005 or 2006, but it was during one of the 2 years I attended Arizona State University in Tempe.
Nice.
At that time, there was a series of large protests in Arizona against some racist law that was heavily targeting people suspected, quote unquote, of being undocumented immigrants.
Sounds like the United States of America.
Yeah, sadly, does sound like Arizona.
Sounds like Arizona. Yes.
As you can imagine, what that was going to lead to a lot of police harassment of anyone who wasn't white. So there was going to be a huge march in the streets of downtown Phoenix in response. I attended the march full of thousands of people and brought my camcorder with me, intending to make a short film that never came together.
Well, that happens. I just appreciate that this person used the word camcorder. I think that's great.
Well, yeah.
I mean, maybe it was literally a camcorder.
Which
I don't know.
Cool.
That'd
be
great. Once the march died down and people dissipated, I spotted Danny Trejo, of all people, just a few feet away talking to a local reporter. When he was done, I gathered the courage to go up to him and asked if I could do a short interview with him for my film project. He agreed and was super nice about
it.
First thing you got to know about Danny is that he's a little guy. I'm only 5'9", and I was towering over him.
What?
Which, you can see this in like
I could footage. Crumple him like a newspaper.
I don't know about
I bet he could still kick your ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That machete ain't so sharp anymore. We'll see. Yes.
You know, Zangief doesn't win all the fucking fights in Street Fighter.
It's all about how big and fat you are. That's what I know about old-timey wrestling.
It's true. It's very true.
Eric, did you get Chris's joke? You're Zangief.
I got yes. He's a big, nasty one.
The hair, of course. When I was a kid, my mom's favorite movies were Heat and Con Air. So Danny was very well known in our household. Plus, I'm Mexican-American, so it was awesome for me to grow up watching someone who looked like me being such a badass in action movies.
That's awesome, but also your mom fucking primo taste in movies.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
No, those are classics, but not much of a hero in Con Air, I'll say that.
No, not great.
No, not but exactly, you know, like, model. A lot of screen time. How about that?
Sure. Yeah. Also, not a huge role model in Heat either, but you know, keeps it to the chest. It's a little better.
Yes.
You know?
But I love seeing him when he shows up. You know, Danny Trejo is a great flavor in a movie.
Loved him in the original Nosferatu, of course. We've talked about him.
Right, yeah.
Walk-on role, because he's been in every movie since the invention of cinema.
Absolutely.
It was the assistant in that. hey, kid, where's Scottsdale? Danny asked me. I told him it was only about 30 minutes away from where we were, and he asked if I could give him a ride to his hotel.
Okay.
Excitedly said yes without wondering for a second why this celebrity was in Arizona at all, much less why he needed a ride from a teenager. Turns out there was a film festival happening in Scottsdale, and he had produced a movie that was showing that night. He had a driver that picked him up from the airport and took him to the hotel, but when Danny saw the mass protests on TV, he told the driver to drop him off wherever that was because he wanted to march with us, with his people. The driver, understandably, didn't think it was a good idea because he didn't know how he could find Danny and get him back.
Hang on. So we're talking 05.
Yeah.
There's cellular telephones. Like, yeah. I guess, is Danny Trejo famously, like, maybe back then, like, hey, man, I'm not carrying a fucking cell phone, man.
No, he goes like where the wind takes him.
Right.
Later he does, but I didn't think about that, but like, yeah, I mean, also, like, if you have to drive through it after a parade, you're probably annoyed as hell.
Yeah,
I don't know what
that's
kind of
true
limousine or whatever this was, so who knows. In Danny's words, though, with all these Mexicans here, I know somebody would have my back.
That's awesome. Yeah,
and it turns out it's correct. During the car ride, we chatted about movies, and he was extremely down to earth guy. He even let me bum a couple of his cigarettes.
Danny Trejo is a guy that I would like fake say I smoke.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You want a cigarette? Yes, I absolutely do. Give me I'll smoke fucking four at once. Danny Trejo, is that what you want me to do?
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, I didn't know you like to get wet." PCP,
but naked.
Yes, Danny Trejo, as much as you can shove in my mouth.
At a red light, Danny pointed out to me that there were two bodacious babes in the car next to us.
Dude, did he use the words bodacious babes?
I hope so.
He's the right
age for bodacious babes.
That's true. Yep.
If you're listening to this, please confirm whether or not the letter writer. I want to know if it was bodacious or not. You know how to impress a girl like that? He asked me. You offered them a massage. Because you know their back hurts from carrying all that shit in front.
Wow.
Oh, no. He's talking about the bazoombas.
Yes, he is indeed.
Yeah.
this guy at least knows what's going on. I know that sounds kind of scuzzy now, but you have to understand I was a dweeby nerd who was terrified to even talk to girls back then. And one of the coolest motherfuckers to ever live was broing out with me about tits.
Oh, of course.
Yes,
also,
dude.
Oh, yeah. You're
talking titty with Machete. Don't you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, we were in college around when once a time in like, I think both Machetes were after college. But even then, I would have been like, sure, let's hear it. Yeah. I want to hear what Danny Trejo's thoughts on this.
Oh, hey, hang on a second, guys. In the chat, sorry. Longtime listener, I believe we've met him on the road as well. The Classy Alcoholic.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Is the writer. He says he did not say bodacious, but the Classy Alcoholic did.
I see.
So okay. We got a line to the letter writer here in the chat.
Thank you for confirming this.
You don't need to impress a lady with a line if you're riding up with Danny Trejo. You just open the window and be like, this is my buddy Danny Trejo. Yeah. We're talking about Al Pacino in here. Who he knows?
Yeah, and then they'll be like, that's not Danny Trejo. That's some like doll. That's some doll man you have.
Did you win Danny that Trejo's a tall action badass.
Yeah. Help him out of that car. Can't you see? His legs can't touch the ground.
That's a Chucky doll with a long mustache. What
are you My buddy.
Yes, the My Buddy
Me amigo and me.
precisely.
Things took a turn when he got a phone call from his wife. Apparently, he had to have a cell phone.
He's got the cell phone.
Apparently, she had gotten to the airport and someone from the film festival or whatever was supposed to send a car for her, but there was no one there and she was just waiting around not knowing where the hotel even was.
Oh, shit, man.
Danny lost his shit, as he should. He started straight up yelling about how it was fucking bullshit that they left her stranded there, how he was going to choose someone's ass out.
Yep, love it.
Nice.
I started getting nervous, and it's not like I was that good of a driver then anyway. I had to pump the brakes really hard to avoid hitting a car in front of us, which made it fluidly into Danny's rant. The sentence went something like, I can't fucking believe this shit. That's fucking ridiculous that they would do that to you. And I'm riding with this kid who's going to kill me.
Yep. Ooh, yep. Oh, Christ.
Wait, that might be a good name for yourself. You could go back in time, kill Danny Trejo. You could be I'm the guy that bested him. I know it was an auto wreck. Yeah.
What you would do is you would have to kill Ernst Lubitsch because he gave him his first job.
That's true.
You would have to make sure that he, you know, got out of the way. We finally got to the hotel. He brought me up to his room to give me a lanyard with a VIP pass to the film festival.
That's so cool.
Hell yeah.
He shooed me away to fix the debacle with his wife and told me to come to the movie theater later that night. When I got there, the lanyard allowed me to bypass a huge line and someone escorted me inside, treating me like I was important or something.
I'm really glad that was the case because it felt like it was going to be like, and the barcode was forged and they were bootleg passes and I got arrested.
No, actually, you have to get your tickets at the other location. It's about 10 miles down the road. Then you can come back and wait in the line.
You've got the blue badge. The blue badge is that line.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but like, can you keep it moving for me?
You guys are all describing what it's like to fucking deal with going to South by the way. That's the exact... The registration is down at this part of town, but the movie theater that you're at right now is 3 miles away.
Oh, what? That's great. Danny had produced a movie called Nice Guys starring Jason Mewes and David Faustino.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
David Faustino, the only man in Hollywood that he's taller than. So there you go.
It's true.
So, my God, he's been destroyed. He's been ruined with this movie. No wonder
I produced a movie starring Bud Bundy. That guy was towering over me, man. What a presence.
I put $50 in to cover the Fritos they had on set that day, so they called me a producer.
The movie was, I looked it up, by the way, movie renamed High Hopes.
Well, he's about to get to this.
Oh, sorry, I didn't.
Among others, I can't remember. I later saw the movie pop up on Netflix under the title High Hopes.
Sure. Yeah, you will fucking change that title after some initial bad reviews. Absolutely.
Oh, I might see this. Edward Furlong. It's kind of...
What's the plot description, dude? What are we talking
about? Andy Dick. Oh, no, that's not the plot. Let's see what the plot says here. This summary is a little long. Hollywood hopeful Tom Murphy and his posse of pals conspire to get into the big leagues.
Is it a pussy posse, do you think? Or,
it seems slightly pussy-esque. They pinned their hopes on the industry success of Tom's famous girlfriend starring in their first feature, but falls to pieces when she dumps him. No. Tom and his pals learn of another possibility and devise a plan to steal a fence case of government-issued marijuana.
Return it
to the FBI for the reward money to finance their movie. However, a scorned girlfriend and her deaf-mute brother have other plans.
Okay.
High hopes in theaters in 2006 at one film festival, I guess.
In theater.
That's what we mean.
We fucking four-walled a theater. Probably in Scottsdale. Anyway.
I also don't remember much about it, except it was kind of funny. I question that, but maybe. There was a VIP after party nearby at which I met up again with Danny. He introduced me to his wife, an agent, and went on and on about what a good kid I was and how I helped him out earlier that day. Everyone was super nice, and I got to shake hands with David Faustino.
Nice.
Did you bend down to do it? Faustino with David Faustino and tell him that I was a huge fan of Married with Children growing up, as was I. I bummed another of Danny's cigarettes and eventually felt awkward being there, considering I wasn't even old enough to drink. I said goodbye to Danny and his wife and never saw him again. That's all, guys. Thanks so much for all the great content you put out, and I wish you many more years of success. Luis from Tucson.
Nice. Thank you, Luis.
Love it.
Thank you, classy alcoholic. Also, I mean
you're never going to see him again. What was he going to give you a Christmas card? It's not going to happen. You know what I mean? You had a nice day with Danny Trejo. Let it live in amber.
A full day. That's pretty cool. Also, Luis, I'm curious, man. What film festival was it? I'm very, very curious.
The Jason Mewes Film Festival.
I think Scottsdale, didn't they say?
Oh, yeah, Scottsdale.
It would be in Scottsdale, but I don't know if it's...
But, yeah, is it like the Scottsdale International Film Festival?
I'm sure it's just that low rent, probably, right?
the fucking direct-to-streamies film festival, et cetera.
The Scottsdale Film Collection. We just got a couple. We're not festive, really. We just got them here.
You know what's not direct-to-streaming? What will be direct-to-streaming is our show on Speed next Thursday, July the 18th. We're going to be talking about one of the biggest blockbusters of all time, one of my favorite blockbusters of all time, Speed.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome, man. I'm super fucking excited. I think there's like some sort of energy in the universe. The fact that I got to that Sandra Bullock episode of Muppets Tonight with a Speed parody.
Nice.
Sure. The stars are aligning, man. The stars are aligning.
Love when that happens.
Also, can you put up the graphic again, please? Absolutely. Now, you got to respect this. Philippe took 5 days getting that hair right for Andrew. We've gotten messages from Philippe. Thank you so much, Philippe. And he just knocked it out of the park, I think.
And yes, this will be available in the merch store as well, tpublic.com/whatever our name is. You can find a link on our website, whmpodcast.com. But please check out the show. Bundle it with the after party. We'll be unclassy alcoholics that evening.
Mm. Yeah. You definitely want to be at the after party, because when any big controversy happens, you want to know where the beginning of the lawsuit was. So, you don't want to get lost and know what was the starting point. No, you'll be there.
if this is in response to my question about the film festival, the classy alcoholic says that part of their memory is gone due to years of heavy drinking.
Mm. That's what I
did a little
classily though. Yeah.
Yes.
Classy memory hole. But it looked like the release info on IMDb. I looked back at it, said Phoenix Film Festival.
Okay.
Mm. Okay. Interesting.
The Phoenix Film Festival in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Just up the road in Scottsdale.
Don't worry. It's the same thing. It's Scottsdale.
Shut the fuck up. The New York Film Festival in Troy, New York.
Exactly. Exactly.
I get a little press release for like an upstate film festival. I won't say the name of it, but it's always like, here's like 20 events that are happening at this film festival, and 3 of them are movie screenings. A discussion festival.
Yes.
Anyway, let's get along here.
Steve, why don't you do this one?
I sure can. This is the Notebook Effect. Hi, WHM. Big fan of the podcast and love hearing fellow movie nerds like you guys making terrible movies hilarious. Well, thank you. Thankfully, I'm old enough to tell the story, But in the good old days, thankfully I'm old enough to tell the story, but in the good old days of working at video stores, I was an employee at Blockbuster.
That's the
road that I never took. I always wanted to work at Blockbuster, never could get that job. They didn't want me. They did not want me.
You weren't Blockbuster material.
I was not.
No. Hollywood Video deemed me unfit to work at them. Yes.
Well, they know
to wear that uniform.
They know a Red Vines thief when they see one.
Yeah,
okay?
Sure.
They just got eyes for that stuff.
I saw a lot of crazy things in my day. Someone walking around for an hour until asking us where the red curtain room was. Yeah, that's
not
a Blockbuster.
Did you guys have
Nutbuster?
An urban legend about Blockbuster, though, where it was like, oh, there is a fucking, there's a secret room.
You gotta
ask for it. Yeah. I remember hearing that like as a kid.
Well, what a humiliating thing is to ask for pornography. And like, ask for pornography in general is humiliating. But if the answer is no, it's triply humiliating. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. You definitely want to write this way.
Exactly.
First, say, we don't sell that here, sir.
You're going to have to jerk off somewhere else, creep.
No creep.
Chris, do you remember the Theater 11?
No.
At the multiplex, when new Usher kids would start working, we would all do this thing where it was like, okay, so it's a 10-screen multiplex, but then, of course, you know, it's 1 through 10 is the general releases, and then there's Theater 11 up the stairs on the side of the projection booth. Mm-hmm. And, like, fucking time and again, it would be like, whoa, what's in Theater 11? And we'd be like, well, that's where the pornos are shown.
The Goon Cave.
Like, you could get, like, one of the dumber kids for, like, a couple of weeks on that, and they'd be like, when can I see Theater 11? Whereabouts is this Theater 11? Oh, no, you got to be here at least a month until you clean Theater 11.
Well, first of all, the last thing I want to do is clean the fucking porno theater. No. Thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Red Curtain Room. Someone yelling at me for being out of Alvin and the Chipmunks live action on the day it came out to rent. That's just what happens to newly releases, baby. They go up like that.
Yeah, you get your ass to the fucking store earlier. What's it, you know, that's your problem.
My manager making us all play the porno movie name game. He would make us make up porno movie names for a stack of movies. And if we couldn't, we had to put the stack back on the shelves. I was surprisingly good at. So I guess there's a big stack. Who wants to do backdraft?
So I think you have to, like, if it's three of them or so, you have to make a porno out of all of those words. And I think this should replace the VHS trailer game. Whoever's best at making naughty Randy movie titles out of other movie titles.
I bet I know who's best at that.
We don't know.
Maybe somebody who brought it up. I don't know.
Wait, the guy? Yeah, the guy. Yes. This guy. What's Christopher from Utah? Uh-huh.
Jimmy Woods on fire today with Ass Draft.
That would be a good one.
Dude, I got to tell you what. I like Ass Draft.
I like Ass Draft quite a bit.
Jimmy, you got to be on the show, buddy.
Pussy 13. Pussy 13.
Fucked away?
Fucked away, sure.
See, you
Steve's
guys, you
so could... not impressed with the porno title game.
See, Chris, you'd still win.
Here we go. I was surprisingly good at it. And a crazy person was always putting Redbox movie in our Dropbox, despite us telling them many times to not do that. This story was one of the weirdest ones. One night, a guy was rummaging through the rom-coms until I asked him what I could do to help. He flat out told me the movie. He flat out asked me what movie he could rent to help him get laid on a date.
Man. This is almost as bad as asking for the pornography section and not getting it.
Exactly. Like, what? This isn't fucking Hitch, dude. Keep moving. You know what I mean? Like, just do whatever. It's 2004. The only thing I could think of was The Notebook. He grabbed from the new release section and immediately made him ring it up. I had to open the next day and completely forgot that happened the night before until the guy came in shortly after we opened and asked for me. I assumed I did something wrong, and he had gotten a complaint when my manager called me up. But until he said this customer needed to talk to me, the guy walked had me walk somewhere where no one was around and hugged me, saying, "Holy shit, dude! That movie got me super laid last night. Thanks, you." He then left, and I never saw him again. How about not a hug? Give me a tip.
You know what I mean? Like,
I am disgusted at this writer. I'm sorry. You're probably a very person. In this scenario, when some asshole comes up to you and is like, get me laid, please. What you do is you show them to John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, probably maybe not Irreversible. Maybe that's going too hard.
No, right. What are you fucking doing, dude?
Say-lo. Yeah, there we go. Say-lo.
Be cool.
No, look, yeah. The horror charmer. This is what I find just like really like grossly unbelievable about this story is the fact that supposedly, according to this guy, this worked. Because I don't know if you guys remember The Notebook. That's a devastating end to that movie.
Sure.
Yeah. How the fuck anyone can like work that into now I'm getting hard and let's get down.
Maybe her partner died. Her previous guy.
He might just be into death in general. But also, I really do have to highlight Ryan Gosling's has nice muscles in that and looks very cute.
Sure.
And he's in a lot of it.
One of the last things you see in that movie is Jenna Rollins and James Gardner holding one another as his brain fucking disintegrates inside his head.
That's funny.
I do get that. And it is a little funny. But the theory, I think, is that you would get in so deep into the Ryan Gosling McAdams part of it, you would not have to finish the movie and see the devastating end for these two people.
That's true.
That's very true.
Making fuck you're, on your
you're,
bed.
You're in the middle of going, walt, 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 before the Alzheimer's even kicks.
I have not even seen the movie. I know I should. Everyone loves The Notebook.
No,
but
you
I
don't.
Remember the clips of him being all wet, and there's like wet kisses, and it's raining,
but that's
and
the
like
thing.
Kissing. And blah, 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 blah.
Once you get to that part of the movie, dude,
the
clock is ticking, because Alzheimer's is creeping into this movie, and no one's getting horny.
Close. So you got to close the deal right then and there.
That's what I'm saying, dude. That's what I'm saying. You have up until the rain portion where he's like, what do you want? Like, or whatever that line is. And like, because it's winding down. The fucking sand is almost through the hourglass and nobody's getting laid until you get to the end of The Notebook.
I get it. Oh, so we'll give him a good alternative. There is Haneke's Amour.
Yeah.
Is Amour.
Excellent.
Got me laid a lot.
Have you guys ever had weird moments like that working in the theater or anything? I love the show so much and have been enjoying the archives as well as the Patreon content. Thank you so much. You guys are amazing and make my workday hilarious. Thanks for all you do, Christopher from Utah. If you ever wondered why someone at Blockbuster would hold back a laugh, this is the PS. If you ever wondered why someone at Blockbuster would hold back a laugh to try to be stone-faced when pulling up your account, it was because the employees would put hilarious and random things about members and their account notes, so we knew which account we pulled up. So like, oh, this guy. You know,
my stepmother's an alien 13 times.
Mr. Shit Breath, shit like
that. Asked me where the red beaded room was. Before we continue talking here, we got a paid remark, so we got to acknowledge the generosity here. Mark Berg asks, hey Steven, have you watched Blood In, Blood Out yet? I gifted / burdened you with the DVD in Hotlanta.
I have not, because I gave that to my good friend Andrew Jupin to have, because he was like, ooh, Blood In, because I had seen Blood In, Blood Out a long time ago. And Andrew was like, ooh, that sounds cool. So Andrew, the question is, have you watched Blood In, Blood Out?
No.
But it is there.
It is there.
It's here. No, it's right here. It's right here. It is in the WHM studio.
Nice.
No, I have not watched it.
Once you get past the second Eric Romare box set from Criterion that you haven't watched, then you can get to Blood In, Blood Out.
And he also got through, but he's been watching a lot of Come In, Come Out.
Definitely.
A real classic.
You think you're fucking joking about those Romare box sets.
I know exactly what's happening.
Staring at me.
I didn't work in the theater. No one was ever tried. I worked at a gym for a really long time. A lot of dudes were sucking each other off in the steam room.
Yes, they were.
So they were getting laid in the steam room, and it was always I'd close, I'd flick the lights on and off, and be like, "All right, whoever's gonna get out there, let's go."
Yeah, let's finish up in there, fellas.
Exactly. And sure enough, one guy would walk out very fast, and then beat, beat, beat. Another guy walk out really fast.
You don't want to walk out at the same time. Then they're going to know what we were doing.
I can't finish to the kid at the front desk says, get out of here.
No, you know, we had nicknames for customers. Like there wasn't a database that you would pull up or anything like that, but we had a guy who dressed kind of like a pimp sometimes and talked with a Tim Meadows ladies man affectation. So we nicknamed that guy the pimp. He was a very loudly well-dressed individual, and he was also a family man. The one story I remember about the pimp was one time they came in, he and his lady friend, and they were going to see, it was like Monsters Inc. came out, and this dude is like decked out looking fucking fantastic for a Saturday matinee of Monsters Inc. And he comes
that
up
rocks.
And he's like, hey man, how long is this movie? And I was like, oh, it's about 90 minutes. And he belts like across the lobby to his lady friend, who was like, I think still buying the tickets, like with the kids. And he was like, yo, Robin, it's 90 minutes. Just like the loudest you've ever heard anyone yell in a mall. And like, we would just like say to each other, and that we'd be like, yo, Robin, it's 90 minutes. Like, yeah. We quoted that for years on end. You know, there was like things like that, but I wish we had like a database to be someone like swipes a credit card and it's like, oh, rude motherfucker when he came to see Ocean's 12 last week, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't. I remember a couple of customers definitely, like when a movie that like Wild Things, or like it wasn't Wild Things, but like a movie like that where the commercial made you think there's going to be a bunch of nudity.
Sure,
you get a couple of customers who 100% would be coming up to you and saying, like, so what do you see?
Oh God, yes, yes.
What do you see? Like that. You can't get a lot. It was usually older guys, got to admit.
Yeah. The index says Chris on it, not Mr. Skin. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I was trying to get a job at Mr. Skin at the time. See, yeah, really, I was trying to put my moves in.
I had not thought about that in a while, Chris, but that definitely happened to me too. Like, you're tearing tickets and it's just like, did you see this yet? Yeah, I did. So, whose tits are in it? I think it definitely happened for the second American Pie movie. That was definitely a thing. I remember working there at the time for that. I think also possibly even American Wedding had a little. So yeah. I know it's about a wedding, but what tits are we talking about?
Ooh.
Do you finally get those Hannigan titties? Do you finally get year after year for the Hannigan?
Do you get Eugene Levy?
Who's tits? You got to tell me who's tits in it. In Castaway, mostly Tom Hanks. I'd be honest with you there, sir.
All right, Mr. Siska, I think we got one more email.
Oh, here, my goodness, we do. And my throat's going out from doing all those old man voices. So I'm going to have to read this as an old. No, I'm not.
You can pull it off, dude. You're the throat goat.
Yeah, yes,
I am. I am. Now that Nancy's gone, runner up here.
Poor Nancy.
I actually saw you at the gym all the time, Steve.
Oh, yes.
I didn't. I was quickly getting out of there.
I know, Steven.
Okay, so the title of the email is Crazy Chris. Is that about you?
Different Crazy Chris.
Crazy Chris and Joe do fighting.
Ooh. Okay.
Hey, gang, love the show. I discovered you guys while listening to an episode of Talking Simpsons a couple years back. That's great.
Our boys. Love those guys. By the way, I'm going to like plug it later as we wrap up. You might be hearing some Talking Simpsons guys on tomorrow's We Hate Movies. Actually, there's no might about it. You definitely will.
You absolutely will.
Yeah, those are great fellows. We love being on their show, and it's fun to have them over on this side of the park as well. So, a couple years back, and you very quickly became my favorite podcast. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
I wish I had found your show sooner, but I'm enjoying the fact that I have a large library of back episodes to go through. And all the great past content that is available on your Patreon.
Love that shit. That's got to be pretty cool. Like, if you're new to the show and you're like, oh, this Beverly Hills Cop 3 episode was pretty funny. Let's see what else they've done. And you're like, oh, holy fuck.
That's right.
They've done a lot.
Well, let's run them through it. Okay, so you go to patreon.com. It's HTTPS.
All right.
://
Come on, I got macaroni and cheese to make here. Come on.
But check out the Patreon. There is a lot on there. Okay, so I've recently started going through your movie commentary tracks, and I'm thoroughly enjoying
my throat.
I need one of your fellas to top me off. Lou,
are you Is you're just happy that now you can enjoy, you can play your games at home.
Yeah. I don't even need to go wear a sports coat to go to the casino.
My daughter and I have tried other online casinos, but Betfair's the best.
Real players, real stories.
I feel like Betfair gives the best bonuses.
You've won with a few.
That's right.
You can play your favorite casino games anywhere in New Jersey. Join today to play your first day risk-free up to $200.
I've been going to the casino since you had to wear a sports jacket to get in.
Yeah, and now my dad plays in his pajamas at home.
Play your way at BetfairCasino.com.
I love yes. that. Not planned, but if we're ever in trouble, we can cut to commercial, which
we're
is important.
Always good to go. Buy ourselves a solid 30 seconds to regroup.
All right, so he's enjoying the Patreon Society, sure. Terry, et cetera. Yeah. So this is a story about an incident that I witnessed during the opening weekend of Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Classic movie, by the way.
I was in the seventh grade, and the long-awaited Beavis and Butthead movie was opening on Friday at the start of our Christmas break. Being the age that I was absolutely going to the movie on opening night.
Fuck yeah.
The theater that evening was filled with fellow classmates and people of a similar age. It felt very much like a school function in that regard. I recall really loving the movie. And I always remember on later viewings, my dad cracking hysterically up at Robert Stack's character's overzealous use of cavity searches. Mm-hmm. Now that I think about it, my dad would also constantly quote Chris Walken's pocket watch scene from Pulp Fiction. And he thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. Your dad is an ass guy. And let you know that your dad is an anal master.
It was in his ass.
One year for Halloween. One year for Halloween, my dad went as the guy from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo gets the dildo kicked up his ass. He thought it was hilarious.
He doesn't know any Seinfeld episode except for the one with the proctologist. That's the only one.
Right. Your dad's at home sitting on his own facility, Jerry.
I like the idea of the Halloween costume. You're just a guy in a suit. And then it was like, oh, what are you supposed to be? Like a lawyer? And then you turn around, no. See that dildo? It's up my ass. Like, oh, yeah. That's something.
Yeah, you of course remember Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, right?
Please.
She got me.
Anyway, following the movie, the crowd of teens and tweens in attendance spilled out into the front of our small town movie theater to wait for their parents, whoever, to pick them up. As I walked out, an argument could be heard starting up. As I made my way through the crowd, I finally saw that there was a fight beginning to break out between a pair of local badass kids in airport.
Yes. Oh, yeah, dude. We all had badass kids in our towns.
Chris Cabin was a couple of years older than me and accurately nicknamed Crazy Chris by his peers.
Yeah, I was known as Crackin' Cabin.
Uh-huh.
Because I would crack your back.
Crackin' ass.
Yeah, it's also that.
The other kid, Joe, was a few years older than me and was someone I was familiar with. He rode my bus in the mornings, would often regale everyone with his stories of drinking, smoking, and other things.
Ooh, cool.
That a seventh grade dork like me could only dream of.
Why couldn't the other guy, like, why doesn't the other guy have a nickname? Like,
Smelly Joe.
Smelly right. Joe, Psycho Joe.
Psycho Joe.
Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe. Well, I think, okay, let's get to it. Let's see if he gets sloppy in this. Okay, so he tried the darndest to be hard, but seemed like he was faking the funk when compared to a guy like Chris.
Wow, okay.
Chris was the real deal. Apparently, no air quotes for him. Both were not dudes you wanted coming after you, but Chris came off as the more real deal and a true psycho. So back outside the theaters, these words were exchanged between the two of them, and I remember Joe being knocked to the sidewalk after the two came to blows.
Well, that says it all right there, doesn't it? I mean, Crazy Chris is already like dominating
her. Winner,
I'm confused. I don't know if it comes up here. What starts a fight after a Beavis and Butthead movie?
It's a great question.
Yeah, I really. But go on, Eric.
Maybe the badass contest that they're had. That is a good question. I guess maybe they just knew each other through the.
Oh yeah.
It had to, you know what it was? I feel as though it was nothing to do with the movie. It was a slight over, like, because, like, you know, kids like this are so fucking stupid, right? It's like true. Someone's you like accidentally, as you're walking out of the crowded small town movie theater, bump into somebody. Hey, man, you got a fucking problem?
Yeah.
No, man, it's just a fucking crowded exit way, and I accidentally brushed your shoulder, but sure, I have a problem. Like those kind of people.
Oh, yeah.
That does make sense.
Sometimes when you have a bad day, you got to go looking for a fight. Being that it was around Christmas time, everyone had their winter gear on, and I specifically remember Joe wearing a big-ass Orlando Magic starter jacket.
Nice.
Which was the style at the time.
Of course. Absolutely. It was everywhere.
Absolutely. You would buy starter jackets for teams you didn't necessarily root for in some cases. I had a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket. Why?
Everybody did. Blue and purple was a dynamic combo.
Yeah. It was pretty great. Like, yeah, sure, I was kind of a Muggsy Bogues fan, I guess. But
and you had that evil bug on the back that scared.
He was badass, dude. He'd sting you.
I don't like him. I'd kill him just like the spider. No, I'd let him outside.
Let him outside.
After being dumped to the ground, Joe rolled over on his back and started to fish something out of one of his sleeves in his opposite hand. It turned out he was reaching for one of those novelty baseball bats they sell at baseball.
Sure.
Of course.
I guess those little bats, right? Like,
yeah, not the big ones.
No, it's like a foot and a half long kind
of
little
novelty bat. That is the samurai sword of the degenerate bully. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is.
That is their stock and trade. They have it.
You really can't get any more degenerate than this, right? Like pulling a novelty little baseball bat out of your starter jacket in the parking lot of the movie theater where you just saw the Beavis and Butthead movie.
Mm-hmm.
Supreme degeneration. This is a classic American story. I love this.
Upon seeing it, I remember hearing Chris say, "Oh, you're pulling weapons on me now?"
Oh, shit.
Joe had also begun to try and stand back up, and he was still on one knee. Chris then proceeded to do what I can only describe as a downward slashing elbow across Joe's face.
Fuck.
Opening a large gash across his forehead.
Was this at Ringo Lam High School? What the fuck?
Yes, I think it might have been.
The fuck is going on here?
No, they were aboard an aircraft carrier, you see, and then everyone behind them was going.
Realizing that the fight was over, Chris proceeded to take off into the night, and Joe was left there bleeding profusely from his head, with the giant crowd of his classmates standing around gawking at all the blood.
Jesus. Yeah. Dude, this is like when George McFly gets fucking Biff Tannen and went reverse, maybe.
And that's the thing, you don't want to be talking shit. Here's the thing, if you're not a true tough guy, you talk shit at school because the good news is it's going to get broken up real quick. You're in a fucking movie theater. Nobody cares about anybody. You're getting the shit kicked out of you in the parking lot.
All bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
I can still remember him with help walking back into the theater, his face covered with blood, his friends yelling, "Where's the fucking phone?" And the woman who ran the theater yelling back at him to watch his language.
Lady, there's a child bleeding in your fucking lobby. Why don't we worry about profanity later?
An ambulance was called. Oh, my God. I feel terrible. Joe's parents probably went into medical debt and died penniless after this.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Never in America, never get an ambulance.
No, never. Thumb. Not once.
You just had to take that baseball bat to the movies, didn't you?
And Joe more than likely got a few stitches put in his head.
That's $75,000.
In America, that is literally $90,000.
Yep. It's more than a college degree. It's three stitches.
My fellow seventh graders and I now tell us and now had a story to tell others that we were not there, and it was something that has always stuck with me over the years. Have you guys ever been involved in or witnessed to any kind of theater related kerfuffle of this kind over your years of going to the movies? Thanks for all your time and for all the laughs. I work as a delivery driver. Listening to you guys makes the days and nights I work fly by. I hope to be listening to you guys for many years to come, and I hope to eventually catch a live show. You guys are the best. Nick from Minnesota. Well, thank you, Nick.
Oh, thank you, Nick.
From Minnesota.
That was very nice.
Fights at the movies. Mm. Like, I'll tell you, the most kind of fighting I've seen at the movies is from, like, wealthy, elderly Film at Lincoln Center people who just will fucking snipe at you.
Oh, yeah.
till the cows come home about their reserve seat and their whatever perceived fucking slight against them because they give $5,000 a year to the institution.
Yeah, of course.
That's more the kind of the shit there.
Yeah, I've already told the SWAT story. You could find that anywhere on this podcast. You haven't heard it yet. Keep listening. You'll get there.
Is that in Bruges or was it SWAT?
It was in. Oh, that's. Thank you, Chris. Yes, it was in Bruges, but I think it was on the SWAT episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Where an old man across the street from Lincoln Center at the that big AMC up there.
Oh, the Lincoln Square. Yeah.
Was yelling at me for eating popcorn. So I threatened to beat him and his wife.
Right, of course. As one does.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about, living in New York, man, is you mind your own fucking business. So, like, for the most part, you just got to keep it quiet. Like, I've told the story before, I think, a few times, but, like, I went to see the fifth Harry Potter movie, Order of the Phoenix, with a couple of friends, or maybe it was just one friend. Were you there for this, Chris, or no?
No, but I've heard this story like a dozen times.
And it was like, it was up on the Upper East Side in Yorktown, that old 86th and 3rd movie theater that was up there. And it was just like a couple of kids like talking shit during the movie. And like, yes, it was annoying, but like my friend that I was with turned around and yelled like, shut the fuck up. And it just turned into like these dudes like threatening us quietly the whole movie. Like, just wait till we get outside, motherfucker. You're watching the movie now. Just wait till you get. And it's like, they were just teenagers, so it was fine. But like at the time, you're in a dark theater. You don't fucking know what's going on. And like someone's just jawing at me about that. Mind your own business.
I have a good time shushing an old lady, that's for sure.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Yeah, you got to know who you're shushing. Sometimes
and pretty,
that can be.
Pretty soon, time will shush her for us.
Yes, indeed. Might have already done it.
As far as like seeing things like as a theater employee, I don't know if there was ever, I don't recall any like fights at the multiplex. I remember one time my brother and his friends came in and the one friend like had drank way too much and that kid like vomited in the women's restroom. So he was having a horrible night. They had to like call his mom and shit, but no fighting. I don't think, want to jump in here. This very generous kick in here from Brendan Neeland. So we got to acknowledge this cue here. I have Death Becomes Her in my queue, but any other camp comedies that we'd recommend? Met you guys at the Toronto and New Jersey live shows, hanging onto Eric's creepy face mask from the VHS trailer game. Thanks for all the laughs.
Wow, it's nice to know that. Yes, I had that white weird mask and I threw it out in the crowd in Toronto. I assumed it went to the trash. This crazy person kept it and it's got my DNA on it and now they're going to start killing people in it.
That's right.
I got to go to the campiest comedy of them all, Batman 66. Everyone in that movie is fucking hilarious, throwing heaters. It's, a little tall glass of water would really help you out with that, but I have a lot of fun with that film.
And you can't go wrong with like John Waters stuff. Just start going through
totally.
Serial Mom.
Serial Mom just added to Netflix recently, I think, actually.
They're all good. Like, John Waters rarely misses, I have found. I think I have seen all but like two of his, and all of them rock. Especially his early stuff's incredible.
Campy shit like Killer Clowns from Outer Space is a fun campy like horror comedy. You know what I rewatched recently and I totally did a 180 on it because I saw it once as a kid, possibly in theaters.
Dr. Detroit?
Finally.
No, I think I was well into my 20s before I was graced with watching that movie. No, the Brady Bunch movie, the first one anyway. That's a good camp comedy for sure. Oh, yeah. Campy comedy. Camp comedies are like meatballs.
And right. Yeah. Ernest goes to camp. Check it out.
Camp Candy, that thing.
Yes, of course.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Where was Camp Candy airing, I wonder? That should be in full on a fucking streaming platform.
What is that? Is that the location from Django Unchained?
No, that is John Candy had a cartoon series very briefly called Camp Candy.
Oh, if that exists, we got to do it on Animation Damnation on our Patreon.
Have we not That's done right. that? We probably haven't, I guess. Yeah.
I think we did Gravedale High.
That's right.
We definitely did an episode of Gravedale High. Greg Buffuto chimes in here and says, theater clearing brawl, the opening night of American Gangster at the Bay Plaza Cinema in the Bronx, He wasn't there, but Ethan. It was notorious.
Yeah, I mean, you go to that thing, you go to the Bay Plaza Cinema on an opening night after sure. dark, you're not having it. I went there quite often. I was mugged once. It was great. You know, it's where it was, that was my theater, the Bay Plaza. That I believe we've talked about is the only movie theater in the Bronx right now because of yes. weirdo shit going on.
Of course.
Which is really fucking terrifying.
Camp Candy is on YouTube.
There we go. Really? Now we are talking. Yeah, folks, so that's it. That's all the letters we were able to snag for this episode. But of course, next Thursday, so not a few days from now, but the following week from now, 7/18, we are going to be live on the internet, moment.co/WeHateMovies. We're going to be talking all about this fucking great-ass movie.
Oh, yeah.
So fucking amped to talk yes. about this movie.
We'll be doing it live, and if you can't make yeah. it live, it'll be available on demand for 14 days after. So come on and get spud with us. Get spud with us.
Sure.
Get yeah. spud.
Get speed.
Someone asked in the chat one of the first times we were talking about the show if we'd done an episode on Speed 2. Yes, we have.
Yes.
Ages ago.
Long yeah. time ago.
If I'm not mistaken. Is that an archive episode or?
I believe so. Well,
yeah. That's
a good question. You could find out by going to whmpodcast.com and selecting Prime episodes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. But yeah, also, of course, remember, yeah, we mentioned the 14-day window, but bundle in that after party ticket. We're yes. going to be answering questions from ticket holders. It's always a lot of fun. It's always raucous.
Oh yeah,
we're always fucking totally brain dead because we've just done 90 to 100 minutes on a movie.
Yep.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super pumped for this. We didn't have On Screen Live earlier today, so I just want to mention, of course, if you're playing catch up from the holiday weekend, last Tuesday, we welcome back our good fucking buddy, Ben Wooster, talking about Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. I was surprised to learn a lot of people did not know this movie existed. They were certain Paul Blart was like a one and done, and their minds were blown.
Somehow Blart returned.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then last Friday, of course, you were probably, you know, shooting your hand off with fireworks or whatever, but we did release the We Love Movies for this month, all about Logan. Kick-ass movie. Reaction to the episode has been stellar. I will say I think it's very funny, Steve. A lot of people have been like, why did they do this when they've been talking about X2 for all these years? And yeah. it was like, because we just felt like talking about Logan. I don't know. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it. But also, I think very specifically, it's all about the Deadpool and Wolverine tie-in situation. Right. And that's the last time he was supposed to play Wolverine until he wants to be in a movie that we're going to see what that is like. We're just going to see what that's like.
We'll see.
He's got to pave a baker's dozen fucking driveways. Uh-huh. So, you know. As we teased a little bit earlier in this program, tomorrow, We Hate Movies offering up another one, Despicable Me 2. Bob and Henry from Talking Simpsons are back.
That's so many minions on that poster. Wow.
It's a lot of them. Look at that.
It truly will be a planet of minions.
It's going to be that way soon enough, man. I feel like once they can figure out how to like make a minion IRL,
it's just going to go from there.
It's coming. Yeah.
So that's tomorrow, of course, with Bob and Henry on We Hate Movies. And then Thursday, holy smokes, folks, strap in for the return of Melrose 210.
Oh, yeah.
With two wild-ass episodes of television that we're talking all about. Oh, boy. Kimberly Shaw pulling off that wig. Oh. One of the greatest, not greatest, but I would say one of the most like infamous moments in television.
For sure.
That fucking rocked the world when that happened. So all that and more, patreon.com/WeHateMovies if you want to get that Despicable Me 2 episode ad free. But that's gonna do it for this I almost said fucking On Screen Live because I was talking the mailbag. So thanks for writing in. Remember, if we didn't get to your letter or you've yet to write something, weallhatemovies@gmail.com, get it in. Don't be afraid, send stuff in. It might not get picked, but you know, get that chance.
Absolutely.
What'd you say there, Steve?
I said yes.
Oh. Yes. We get less than you think. So send in your puking stories, fighting kids in the street.
Yeah. Your shitty mom.
All of them.
All right. Well, that's the end of this mailbag. Until we open up the mailbag again, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Seda.
Eric Siskin.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good night, y'all. Bye-bye.